Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC Studios, I'm Brian Lehrer. This is my Daily Politics Podcast. It's Tuesday, April 25th. Tucker Carlson, Don Lemon, and Jeff Shell are out. Joe Biden wants to be back in. The president released a re-election announcement video this morning. We'll get to that and play an excerpt. But there's all this news today, as you have no doubt heard, about allegedly sexist media men getting the boot by the companies that run all three major cable news operations. You probably know about Don Lemon, now fired from CNN after the firestorm over his comment that Nikki Haley is past her prime because women are considered past their prime once they pass their 40s. Don Lemon said that. The one you probably know the least about is Jeff Shell, who was the CEO of NBC Universal until Sunday, when he admitted what he called an inappropriate relationship with a woman in the company and said he was truly sorry. Now, according to multiple media reports, the woman is Hadley Gamble, a correspondent at CNBC, the business cable channel, whose lawyer is telling reporters she has messages that document harassment and sex discrimination by Shell. And of course, there's Tucker Carlson, and lots of speculation there about the reasons he got fired yesterday from Fox News. But some of it goes like this. Lying to his viewers. Yeah, that was highlighted in the Dominion voting machines defamation suit that just cost the company more than $750 million. But it's not really a new offense and acceptable to management for Tucker Carlson to be lying to his viewers for a long time. They even kind of said that in court. We'll talk about that. The cost of doing business. Supporting the big lie about the stolen election that Fox as a company did not support. Meh, all's fair in the pursuit of ratings. Supporting Vladimir Putin on the invasion of Ukraine. Putin, who recently took another Murdoch journalist hostage, Evan Gershkovich from the Wall Street Journal. No, that's okay. I guess they can compartmentalize that. But how about this? There's a new lawsuit against Fox by Carlson's own former chief guest booker, Abby Grossberg, who alleges she was pressured into giving false testimony in the Dominion case, and also that Carlson ran a sexist, misogynist, toxic workplace that included using the C word in the workplace all the time, as Grossberg put it in an NBC interview last month. Not okay, right, in the workplace, not okay in mixed company. You would think he would probably get fired, but he hadn't, at least until now. But let's consider that for a minute. Carlson using that word, guy in his position with so much he could lose. We're about to hear from Joan Walsh, national affairs correspondent for The Nation. She's about to be our guest. Joan says Carlson once used the C word to insult her. She published an article about it back in 2019. Fox didn't care then. But for even more corroborating evidence about that kind of thing, did you hear NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik on All Things Considered yesterday? He, too, had a firsthand story of Carlson using that word to describe someone in his presence. Here's that story. This begins with Folkenflik mentioning that allegation of vulgar language in the new Abby Grossberg lawsuit.
She said that he used a vulgar epithet, like the most, I think, vile epithet you can use for a woman in describing one of Trump's key allies, Sidney Powell. And let me say, although it was a shocking term, I wasn't totally surprised by that. I had heard him use this term getting off a van at the Republican National Convention in 2016. I said to Carlson, Tucker, what are you doing? And he said, what? She is. It was about someone else. It was pretty appalled in the moment.
NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik on yesterday's All Things Considered. Maybe, just maybe, it was Tucker Carlson's workplace behavior, more than any of his crimes against democracy, that led to his sudden termination with that lawsuit looming. In any case, Tucker Carlson, Don Lemon, and Jeff Shell are all out within a 24-hour period. Biden wants to stay in, and for good measure, on another day this might have been the lead, Donald Trump goes on trial in a civil suit in New York today, accused of defamation and rape by the advice columnist E. Jean Carroll from an incident that stems from the 1990s and things that he said more recently. With us now is Joan Walsh, national affairs correspondent for The Nation, author of the book, What's the Matter with White People? And Joan has a new article for The Nation, whose title I can't completely read on the air. It's called, Don't Let the Door Hit You in the A Word. Tucker Carlson, the racist, misogynist Fox host, lost his show. It's a great day for democracy and for women. Joan, always great to have you on the show. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks for having me, Brian. Great to be here.
We played David Folkenflik's first-person account of the ease with which Tucker Carlson called women that particular four-letter word. Abby Grossberg says in her lawsuit against her former colleague Carlson that he flings it all the time. So what's the family show, FCC-friendly radio version of your own Tucker Carlson C-word story?
I'll do my best. My daughter could be listening. Ryan, we don't want that. So it was totally bizarre and out of the blue, although I guess now that I know this is the way he talks, it shouldn't have been surprising. But at Salon, when I was editor, it happened in, I think, 2010, when I was editor-in-chief of Salon. And we used to do, it was kind of, I mean, we did have social media, but it wasn't as big a thing. We used to do kind of what we call just reactions, where, you know, now what you would do is, you know, send an intern to Twitter and round up what everybody's saying about X, Y, or Z, right? But at the time, you had to call people and see if you could get them to talk to you, you know, just give me a paragraph about whatever. And this had something to do with Barack Obama, and I think relating to the ACA and the Affordable Care Act. And why I would have someone call Tucker Carlson is kind of embarrassing to me now anyway. But an intern who is now a very prominent sports journalist, Ethan Sherwood Strauss, dutifully made this call and found himself on the receiving end of being asked, what's it like to work for a C word like Joan Walsh? And she's such a C word. And, you know, questions about my sex life, just really insulting, gross, inappropriate stuff. Nothing about Barack Obama, strangely. So he gets off and he's sitting in a corner with other interns and people in an open office where people can tell that he's having a really uncomfortable conversation. And he gets off and he tells his supervisor that what's just happened. And she comes into me and she's very upset. And she's like, this is disgusting. What should we do about it? And he wasn't taping it. So he called him back and tried to get him to say it on tape, because we would have, we would have run something about it, and he wouldn't. Yeah. And he denied that he ever said it. But, you know, everyone around Ethan knew something, you know, bad had happened. And I just decided in the moment that I really wasn't going to do that to a young person at the start of his career, you know, pit him against Tucker Carlson. I believed him. It just didn't seem fair. So, you know, I carried that story around with me for a while. And then about 4 years ago, Media Matters uncovered a trove of Tucker's, you know, I'm sure fascinating and educational interviews with Bubba the Love Sponge, I guess, radio personality, not Brian Lehrer for sure, and where he likewise used the C word all the time, made inappropriate remarks about his daughter, you know, other really, really sexist things. And so I wound up writing about it because it's like, this is him. He does this. Yep. He did this to me. He's doing it to other women. And
so much corroboration, right? But I want to pull out from Tucker's own behavior to the workplace context, because in lots of workplaces, if a guy uses that word these days even once to refer to a female colleague or even at all in mixed company, he'd probably get fired, but not apparently at Fox News, at least not for a long, long time. Do you think, in effect, their workplace culture has represented, you know, the old school male values that Carlson and his ideological compadre Vladimir Putin espouse in public?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, let's remember, you know, this is Roger Ailes' creation, the late Roger Ailes, the late not great Roger Ailes. He was driven out by his own mistreatment of this treatment is, you know, groping and, you know, assaulting women who worked for him. Likewise, Bill O'Reilly, who preceded Tucker in that 8 o'clock spot, driven out for his sexual abuse of women. So clearly this was the culture. You know, Abby Grossberg's lawsuit says Tucker's top producer would grill her about the sex life of Maria Bartiromo, who she worked for before she went to work for Carlson, but while also calling her, you know, crazy and menopausal, which, you know, women really like that. I don't know about, I don't know if you knew that, Brian, but we love being called menopausal.
Oh, so, you know, I thought so.
Yeah. Feel free to just throw that one around. No, I don't want to get you fired. I really like you. Anyway, you know, they had a picture of Nancy Pelosi in a bikini. I mean, if women politicians who were silly enough to go on a stupid show would be ranked in terms of, you know, whether they were, you know, attractive or not, let's put it in the most clean way possible. And so, you know, it's just been it's been hiding in plain sight. It's not something he does when he's like at a bar. Actually, I don't think he drinks anymore. You know, at a party. Not that it's good in any of those places, but you know what I mean? It was absolutely part of the workplace. And if you were a woman, you were expected to deal with it.
One other thing about Carlson before we move on. What impact, I think this is the most important question, do you think Tucker's firing will have on the national political conversation? Your subheadline says, it's a great day for democracy, but even with a reported 3 million viewers a night, you know, the large majority of Americans don't watch Fox or any cable news channel. So is this bigger news in media world than it is in democracy world?
Well, it's hard to really draw that fine a distinction for me anyway, Brian, because, you know, the media world influences the democracy world. And as long as we have people like Tucker Carlson keeping folks angry and stupid and full of white grievance, basically, it's a threat to democracy, you know, and peddling the line that he peddled about January 6th, that it, you know, was no harm done, is a threat to democracy. Now, what comes next? Who gets that slot? You know, we celebrate. I did a piece saying bye bye Bill O'Reilly when he got canned, and then we got Tucker. So, you know, it's too early to celebrate. Although I did toast to Tucker last night with my sister. But, you know, because who knows who we're going to get in that slot? You know, somebody on Twitter yesterday suggested Donald J. Trump Jr. You know, who knows? Kimberly Guilfoyle had a show there once. You know, it could conceivably be worse. I hope it won't. I hope maybe they've learned some certain lessons. You know, I don't, it's too early to celebrate, you know. They've not called and offered me the show. I just want to let everybody know that. You'll be the first to know, Brian, when that happens.
You know, I'm going to jump ahead for time here. I wanted to talk about Trump and E. Jean Carroll, but I think it's more important that we talk about President Biden announcing for re-election this morning. Here's about a minute, the first minute of his announcement video.
Personal freedom is fundamental to who we are as Americans.
There's nothing more important, nothing more sacred.
That's been the work of my first term, to fight for our democracy.
This shouldn't be a red or blue issue.
To protect our rights, to make sure that everyone in this country is treated equally and that everyone is given a fair shot at making it. But you know, around the country, MAGA extremists are lining up to take on those bedrock freedoms, cutting Social Security that you paid for your entire life while cutting taxes for the very wealthy, dictating what healthcare decisions women can make, banning books, and telling people who they can love. All while making it more difficult for you to be able to vote.
Well, on any other day, the obvious lead story would be the President of the United States announcing his re-election campaign. Today, it took us till 42 minutes past the hour after talking about the death of Harry Belafonte and Tucker Carlson, Don Lemon, and all of that going on. So, Joan, Biden's running, no surprise. There are multiple polls showing most Americans don't want him to, and that he would be Trump, but in theory lose to some other theoretical unnamed Republican. And even as we may not dismiss Nikki Haley saying Biden is past his prime as just opposition politics, or as we may dismiss it as that, a lot of Americans who say he shouldn't run cite his being 80 years old as a reason. So how's Joe Biden doing as president, according to you, at The Nation?
I think he's doing surprisingly well, Brian. I think that his accomplishments have been extraordinary, given the opposition that he faces, not only from Republicans, but sometimes from his own party, Joe Manchin, and now Kristen Independent Cinema. He's had it tough and still was able to get through all kinds of, COVID relief, and then the Infrastructure Act, the CHIPS Act, the Inflation Reduction Act, which, Joe Manchin insisted on naming it that, but it was really a lot more investment, again, in the economy than that. Manufacturing jobs are growing. Black unemployment is at its lowest in since we've actually measured Black unemployment. I think he's done a great job. I think he's tried to do some things that he doesn't have the votes for, like after the Dobbs decision, try to enshrine at least the bare minimum protections that Roe v. Wade used to afford women. He doesn't have the votes for that. He didn't have the votes for civil rights and voting rights reform, and people were disappointed about that. But, on balance, the things that he can do, he's done. I think it's a little bit difficult to get excited necessarily, since, as you say, we did know he was going to do this, and we've known you forever. I like the video. You can't really get it's a video, so you play the audio, but the images are both stirring and disturbing. He is not shy. He is not shy at all about showing images of the violence of January 6th and taking on the MAGA extremists and dealing with the threats to democracy that we face. And I think that's, there's been some reporting and opinionating about, what's more important to focus on, the economy, the improvements in the economy, the improvements that are yet to come, or the threats to democracy. And I think the answer is both. And I think it certainly in that video, he is doing both. And it's kind of a moving montage of all sorts of Americans, and a lot of FaceTime also for Vice President Kamala Harris, who, I think really has to be even more of a presence, if only to assuage people who are concerned about his age, and that, mid second term something happens, or, he is unwell. She's got to be, again, believable as a president. And I think they've been giving her better, more high profile things to do. And I think she's been stepping up herself, particularly on the abortion issue. I'm optimistic. Yeah, I know he loses against unnamed Republicans, but he's not going to run against an unnamed Republican. He or she is going to be named, and they are going to be twisted in knots. I mean, Ron DeSantis, I've written about this. We're never going to see President Ron DeSantis. He's self-destructing. I was going to say down in Florida, but no, he's in Tokyo. He's all over the world acting like, he's going to be president while he's ignoring the flooding in Fort Lauderdale. He's just a very not likable guy, Chris Christie tried it. Sorry, Chris. That's not going to happen. Mike Pence is hated by MAGA world because he didn't overturn the election on January 6th. So I could go down the list. I mean, I don't, unless Biden really stumbles, which is possible, right? I don't see any of these people beating him.
And sometimes it depends what's happening in the moment, in the summer of 2024, more than what's happening now. Just very briefly on Tucker Carlson and Don Lemon, I mean, they're certainly not the moral equivalents of each other. But do you think in both cases it's fair to say this isn't CNN's parent company or Fox News's parent company coming down on the side of right versus wrong or women's equality or anything like that, that it's purely a financial calculation that they're going to lose more money than they make because of the continued presence of these two?
I think that's potentially true for Tucker, although he brought in a lot of money.
A lot of money.
I'm not sure it's as true with Don Lemon. I don't know that he had publicly become so toxic yet, but I could be missing that. I think that it was just a workplace situation that was not getting any better, where, you know, the angry and disgruntled felt aggrieved.
Yeah. And there we leave it with Joan Walsh, national affairs correspondent for The Nation, author of the book What's the Matter with White People, and producer of The Sit-In. Harry Belafonte hosts The Tonight Show. Joan, thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it.
Brian Lehrer, a daily politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.